Brother Richard.
I can tell that he comes from a church that, and it may be through his involvement with music that it has taken place, but did you notice that he came up and sat in the front row? That's so he's right here when I call to introduce him. If somebody doesn't do that, though I suggest it, but if they aren't comfortable doing that, then I tell them, all right, when I start telling you, you're going to sing. That's when you get up and come front. I'm just introducing you long enough till you get here. It goes against my being to have me say, Mr. and Mrs. Smith are going to sing, then I go sit down, and it's silent until they finally get up and get down here and get up and get their book open and whatever else goes on, okay? That's just, I take very literally, do all things decently and in order, okay? My application of it goes further than I know a lot of people's. Well, now that means absolutely nothing other than to maybe understand my distorted mind. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. One of the great Bible doctrines which is often neglected is the sanctity of the Christian's body. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. This clearly teaches that our bodies are not our own to do with as we please. They have been purchased by the holy blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and are to be dedicated to him. In 1 Corinthians, Paul informs us that they are temples, temples of the Holy Spirit, temples of God. Does it matter how a Christian disposes of his or her body at the time of physical death? I realize that in some areas of the country, the more rural, the more less populated states, cremation is not as common a practice as it is in the more heavily populated areas, particularly city areas. I read some time ago how that in places like New York City, the cemeteries bury 2 and 3 people deep in a plot. So that if a family has a plot and grandpa dies, they'll dig down to be able to put 3 caskets in that area. So things in the city are different. Now, people have asked, frequently I am asked, through the years it's been true, and here about 3-4 weeks ago I was asked about the subject of cremation. Is it wrong for a Christian's body to be cremated? Some have said to me, is it true that the body comes to life in the process of cremation? Why is cremation unpopular in Christian lands? I want to make an acknowledgement that some Christians choose cremation. My purpose, and I don't know where any of you are on this matter. You may have relatives or friends who have chosen cremation when they die, or you may have a relative or a friend who has died and was cremated. Listen, My purpose is not to point a finger or to disparage in any way an individual or a family's choice, but to give, by opening the scriptures, what insights exist regarding this matter of cremation. This study is to help you, okay? Now, you know somebody who has been or is going to be cremated, so you have that question. But this is, what are you going to do? That's what I'm talking about. And I always try to be gracious. I know that may be hard to believe at times, but I always try to be gracious. I'm usually asked about this when people want an endorsement of their decision. I've had people come to me and say, look, Pastor, I've chosen to be cremated. I know you don't agree with that, but what about my funeral service? And I tell them, I will conduct your funeral service. You know what I've taught regarding cremation, but I am your pastor and I will conduct your funeral service. So I am trying, like I say, to be gracious. My purpose is not to point a finger, but to help you understand what the scriptures say on this subject of cremation. Definition of cremation is the burning of a dead body, reducing it to ashes. Encyclopedia Britannica says, quote, cremation is the burning of a human corpse, which was the general practice of the ancient world, with the important exceptions of Egypt, where bodies were embalmed, of Judea, or ancient Israel, where they were buried in sepulchres, and China, where they were buried in the earth. Present-day crematories are specially built buildings for the purpose of the incineration of human bodies. Depending on what an individual's desire is to know about this subject, like so many things, you can go to a search engine, get on the internet, okay, and you can read all kinds of information. I am not going to give the graphic description that I saw on one website, okay? Of course, if you get a website where they are promoting, say as an undertaker, they have a crematory and they are offering their services, everything is going to be presented in the most delicate way and in the least offensive way. But then there's other websites where, you know, strap your cell phone to the chair because you're going to hear some things that I won't include in this message, okay? If you have questions, you can come see me, but I'm not going to include it. I feel it would be inappropriate in a mixed group, meaning young and old, and also in a mixed group in the sense that I don't know what you feel or where you are regarding this. I don't know what the experience of your family and background have been. And like I said, my point is not to offend. But if I only teach things in the Bible that don't offend somebody, oh, yeah, there's not going to be a whole lot left. So, having individual compartments, these crematories, they're heated to a temperature of, some say, 1,400 to 1,600 degrees. Others say 1,800 to 2,000 degrees. It's a white heat that quickly reduces the body to ashes. There are some people who do not like the idea of laying in the ground, though you're, you know, contained. And I'm not sure what New York's laws is. I know in Pennsylvania you have to have a concrete vault put down there, and then you're in a casket itself that is sealed, and then the vault has a lid that seals. But some people don't like the idea of just laying there and slowly decaying, deteriorating, so on. But if they have never read the details of cremation, That's a whole other matter too. Well, I don't like just laying there and decaying. Well, find out what cremation is. You might not like that either. The process takes, I'm told, 2 to 3 hours. And then there's an additional 2 hours, 1 to 2 hours of processing the remains. And that means that magnets are used to remove, like Brother Dale. Good night. They get all kind of metal out of him. And then one of the pictures that I saw was some of the screws, like they put in your spine, and I have some in mine, okay? And so they that's there. And then, of course, some dental fillings and all, that would be there. And then the actual remains of the body are put into an urn. And that's a fancy little bottle that they're going to charge you a whole lot of money for. Go down to Big Lots, you can get one cheaper. And they might not let you. Well, this isn't approved, or sometimes it's a little box. Okay, that it varies. A committal service can take place at the chapel of the crematory. And then, after the family and friends have left, the process begins. At other times, the body is immediately taken after death, taken by the undertaker to the crematory, and it is disposed of in the process of cremation. And then the family gathers at a later time to have a memorial service. If a person has, I had an individual in past who told me, look, I am going to be buried within 24 hours. Okay, the Jews don't embalm generally. The Jews don't embalm. And so they're buried immediately. And so this man said, I want to be buried within 24 hours. I don't need the embalming. And so you be ready when you hear that I've died, because we're going to be having a quick service. And I'm no longer that man's pastor. And, I sure would like to be. I had people come to me, and I had a file where they had their funeral wishes. They wrote them down for me, and they said, this is what I want in my funeral service, and I held on to that for years. but anyway, then they have a memorial service. And let me ask this question. Does the body come to life? The basic answer is no. When the heat becomes intense in the compartment, which itself is shaped like an oversized coffin, and the individual is placed into either a wood or sometimes made out of particle board, sometimes just cardboard. The body is placed into such a container and then put in to the crematory. And when the heat becomes so intense, the body appears to be alive as it moves about by the contraction and expansion of the muscles. Now, if the body was held forever period of time and the muscle tissues began to break down, then that would change that. When cooled, the ashes are put into an urn, the remains of the body. A body weighing, say, 140, 50 pounds, I'm told, would be no more than 3 or 4 pounds of ashes. If it were not, listen to me now, if it were not for the Christian's responsibility to God and what the Bible says, there are some things which favor cremation. The biggest thing, and I personally believe this is one of the biggest motives in a lot of people's minds, not all, but a lot of people's mind, and that is it's less expensive than a burial. Though some nations still require a burial of the ashes, but even that would be less than the burial of a whole casket as we're familiar with. Others don't. They'll take the ashes. You have seen on TV and may even have heard people, they, you know, like in our area, he loved to fish. Oh, he had a favorite trout stream. And we're going to take his ashes and we're going to sprinkle them on his favorite trout stream. You know, and I'm not speaking disparagingly, because that's a meaningful thing to the people who do that. Others, you know, they had a boat and they were out in the ocean all the time. And so we're going to take his or her ashes and we're going to sprinkle them on the water. Again, I'm not speaking disparagingly. I'm not making mockery in any way. You can dispose of the remains, or you can keep them in the urn on the shelf. That a lot of people, what they'll do is they'll keep grandpa's remains and they set them on a bookshelf, okay? And somebody comes in and they say, oh, that's a neat vase you got there. What's that? Oh, that's grandpa, okay? Now, you have a little humor there. And so there are freight charges. Another reason that favors cremation, there are freight charges to transporting a body like from one state to the next. Excuse me, I've often thought if we were visiting one of our children, like we have a son in Kansas, and if I were to die while we were there, I need to tell him ahead, you know, now Pat's here, and I can tell her ahead, look, just stick me in the trunk and pack me in ice and drive home, okay? Because you can't do that. I know. I understand. Those of you watching on Facebook, okay, if you've never seen this program before, okay, if you've never seen these church services before, this is probably not the best first time. You know? But you'd have to call an undertaker in Kansas. He'd have to embalm. And then he would put you in a transport, and I don't know how they go about shipping. Is it FedEx, UPS, or I don't know. Can you rent a U-Haul? And I really don't know. But listen, speaking of the transportation of the dead, you know the Bible talks about that? Yeah, it does. Genesis chapter 50, turn to it. Boy, I've got a whole lot for the amount of time left. Genesis chapter 50, I've got to try to and not run some, you know, extras here. Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50, verse 24 to 26. Genesis 50, 24. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die. He's down in Egypt. And God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. That's what Moses did. Let them out. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from thence. So Joseph died, and being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. So the transportation of his remains. All right, now we're going to Exodus. Exodus chapter 13. Exodus 13 and verse 19. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. Joshua, okay, Joshua. I know that's here in my Bible. I saw it last night. Joshua 24, verse 32. And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem in a parcel of ground, which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. So you see, the Bible talks about transporting a body. A large and important place is given in the Bible to the practice of burial among God's people. Now, the Bible makes a distinction between the burial of God's people and the burial of unbelievers. Those who aren't in our day, we'd say they are not Christians. They you know, they were God's people, mainly Israel, but some others who had converted to the following of God in Israel. A large place is given in the Bible to the practice, that's important, of burial among God's people. Genesis chapter 23, which I'll not turn to, it is devoted to Abraham's wife Sarah's burial. Almost half of Genesis 50 records Jacob's death and burial. And as we read, the last three verses was about Joseph's burial. Some Christians say it does not matter. Yet when Moses died, and you can read this in Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 5 to 8, when Moses died, God buried him. Now people went to find it, but God didn't want them to find it. They never could find where Moses was buried. But God buried him. God didn't cremate him. God didn't send down from heaven a bowl of lightning to consume. Now, God could have done that, couldn't he? Of course he could. But God buried him. Now, that becomes important. It isn't that burying the body didn't exist. Okay. It isn't that burning the body, a little too small a print, I need to make that bigger, okay? Yeah. They knew about burning the body. That existed. It's that God's people, in the Old Testament, God's people chose burial. Now, do you think some smart people in Israel just sat there and thought to themselves, I wonder what we ought to do. How should we get rid of our bodies when they die? You know, digging a hole and putting somebody in that, or finding a sepulcher. There's only so many little caves that we can find to put people in. What shall we do? Oh, well, you know, the neighboring tribe over here, the Moabites, they burn their bodies. You think we ought to? No, I think we ought to choose. No, that isn't how it came about. The things that the people of Israel did was because of the instructions that God gave them. Now listen to me. And the examples, the examples that God gave to them. Now that's going to become more. The burial is the only God-given way to honorably dispose of the dead. Now that's a strong statement, I know. Please remember, I'm not here to cause people heartache or grief or difficulty. But we need, listen, I am not, the one website I looked at last night, and it showed a fellow in his tie and suit and a beautiful background to him, you know. Funeral homes always are one nice places, aren't they, huh? And and this fellow was talking so softly and so dignifiedly and what have you, okay? Listen, what I just said is a very strong statement. I'm here to communicate. I'm here to tell you something that I believe is good to know. Burial is the only God-given way to honorably dispose of the dead. Remember, we govern our practice as Bible Christians by the precepts, that's the commands, the principles, that's the general instructions that God gives regarding life and living, and the exemplary practice of God's people. So you have the precepts, direct commands, you have the principles, the general instructions about life and living that God gives to his people, and then you have the example of how people practice things in the Bible, okay? And so it's not by tradition that we decide what to do. It's not by convenience. I'm going to be buried. Not because everybody in my family before me was buried. It's not because that's the tradition in this area. And no, I'm going to be buried because I believe that is honorable to the Lord. And it's going to cost more than we really want to pay. But you know what? We already discussed this sort of thing. We're going to have one viewing. It's going to be just before the service. Yeah, well, that isn't always convenient. Sorry, we're not doing it for convenience. We're doing it for disposal. And so we're going to have just one viewing. It's going to be before the service. The casket is going to be the lowest price that is possible. Okay? Because it's going to be put in that concrete vault. Okay? Now, I have a son-in-law who he and some of his brothers, they made the wooden casket of his father. Okay? And it's awesome that they did that. But you don't do it by convenience. Well, I'm going to get cremated because that's convenient. No, we're going to do it by cost. Okay? What if I choose cremation? Like I told you before, if you know, when I was a pastor, I told people, I'll have your service. But according to historical records, the idea of reducing human bodies to ashes originated in heathen lands. Rome was among the first to practice it. Today in India, there is a common practice among Hindus of burning. Now that's an open burning, not in a crematory, in a furnace, but it's an open burning. And again, you can see pictures. You may have seen pictures of this. If you get National Geographic magazine, you know, you've seen pictures of it. If you've been watching a TV movie in India, you may have seen pictures of it. If you know, you can see pictures of it. And they built, you know, a big rack where they put the person on and they burn it. And I'm trying to think of a famous man who was a Hindu and he was burned. Oh man, Mahatma Gandhi, okay, was burned. And it named, the site I saw named different famous people who were at his burning, okay? It's a big occasion. It's a ceremonial thing that takes place. A missionary from India was once asked if Indian Christians cremated their dead. And with a look of surprise, he said, no, positively not. Cremation is heathen. Indian Christians bury their dead, bury their Christian remains. We also know from our day, watching the news and other sources, that cremation has been used as an aid to a crime, to cover up a crime. Person was killed and murdered, and their body is cremated right away. And there's no possibility of any forensic work that can be done to, you know, the rest of the family says, look, we know such and such happened, and we suspect thus and such, but without the body, they can't prove anything. So cremation is used for that. Now, listen, please, I am not inferring. Do you hear me? I am not inferring that everybody that cremates is doing it to cover up something. You know, I have to clarify everything. And so there you got the clarification, the disclaimer. Many people who consider cremation change their mind when they understand the process and the gruesomeness of it. You know that the Bible speaks of death as sleep, as a peace, as a rest. That's what the Bible speaks of death as. When the body is reduced, there are bone pieces that were not burned. These come in varying sizes. They are taken by the crematory workers and they are crushed into a coarse sand content, so that all of the person's remains are there. But that after they get the metal out, that's what they must do. Now, I am not concerned, because I'm sure somebody has thought of this. I am not concerned about the resurrected of cremated bodies. God can and he will raise the dead, all bodies of believers and unbelievers, regardless of their way of dying, whether they were buried or whether they were cremated. We've all heard stories of people who've died at sea, especially during war times. There was a ceremony on the ship. We've seen pictures, I've seen pictures, TV documentaries, where the body is slid off of a plank or whatever and into the water. What happens to them? Well, eventually fish eat their remains. Or they just, if the fish don't get to them, they just eventually disintegrate. Now the resurrection happens. How are they gonna get him? Or a fella had his arm amputated in a war in one country, and then he goes home and he dies in another country. His arm was buried in Vietnam, and he's at home in Chicago, and now he's a believer, and a resurrection happens. You know, listen. God, who made everything out of the dust of the earth, God who created it all, is not a difficulty for God. That is a difficulty to a human mind. And I understand it's a difficulty to the human mind. But I'm just telling you, you need a bigger God than what you have.
Yes, sir.
So that you know that he can take care of all of that. To us Christians, it's a matter of reverence. Okay, this is a key factor now. To us Christians, regarding the matter of the disposal of our body, it's a matter of reverence for God's property. Ye are not your own. You're bought with a price. And what God's word says, reverence for God's word. Always in the Bible, this is important. I have it highlighted in blue on my paper, okay? And I emphasize it to you. Always in the Bible, righteous people were buried. In the Bible, righteous people were never cremated. My Lord Jesus was buried, and he is our perfect example in all things. You see, we live life, and then there's some things that we don't think, you know, normally of putting them under what we do as a Christian. And this is an area, and one of the reasons is because a lot of times pastors don't teach about this sort of thing. And probably the reason some sincere Christians have had their loved ones or friends cremated is because many preachers failed to ever teach what the Bible says about care of God's property and our bodies, even in death. Now, there is cremation in the Bible. Against the sacred scriptures, the Bible, there is no appeal or debate. In other words, once the Bible says something, you can't appeal it. There's no need to debate it. When the Bible gives an example or gives a precept about it, not a precept, a principle, because there's no precept in the Bible that says you should be cremated. There isn't any precept that says you should not be cremated. But the Bible does give us instruction regarding how the body was to be disposed of. And that, my friends, was burial. The Bible is final and adequate in all questions of religion and moral conduct. Psalm 119, verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." It isn't going to change by culture. It isn't going to change by favorability. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 25. Now, I've got to look at some of these rather quickly. Deuteronomy 7 and verse 25. "The graven images of their gods shall ye burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is in them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein, for it is an holy abomination to the Lord thy God. Graven images are supposed to be burned. Does it seem right to handle God's property, my Christian body, the way God says an idol should be handled? There just seems to be a little bit of a conflict there. Now, Joshua, okay? Joshua chapter 7 and verse 15. Joshua 7 and verse 15. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, because he hath wrought folly in Israel. And so cremation, in this case, was a means of judgment. It was God's curse on Achan. That's what the Bible says about burning. It's never used of righteous people, but it is used as a point of judgment. Amos chapter 2, okay? Amos chapter 2. In Amos chapter 2 and verse 1, thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Moab, and for four, I will not turn away punishment thereof. Here's why Moab is getting punished. Because he burned the bones of the kings of Edom into lime. Moab was a heathen nation. And this verse shows that God takes account of even the unsaved and their doings. It clearly shows God's disapproval of cremation. Burial is an honorable care of the body. To not be buried is a supreme dishonor. And I don't have the time. I'm going to give you the references. Jeremiah 22, 19. 2 Kings 9, 30 to 37. And 1 Kings 21, 24. In Jeremiah, it's a talk about taking a man and just throwing him out. We wouldn't say in the dump, but just throwing him out on an ash heap. And 2 Kings 9 is the end result of Jezebel when she was cast out of the window and the dogs ate her remains. All they had was some bones to pick up. And here again, it's to not be buried. It's a supreme dishonor. Cremation is contrary to the example and teachings of Jesus and his apostles and the early Christians. One of the great disadvantages of our generation is partial knowledge of only certain parts of the Bible. We live in a time when all people want to know is certain parts of the Bible, and they only want to know about their favorite, we call them hobby horses. They like to ride this subject every time. That's the important thing to them, okay? Some Christians will say, well, the Bible doesn't say anything about cremation. So it leaves it up to each of us. Listen, I've showed you so many scriptures that shows what God thinks about cremation. Now, I'm not trying to upset people. I'm not trying to be harsh. So what should I do so that you're not upset? Because you've heard things now that are different than what you were feeling and thinking. And I've said things that have upset you. You know, it doesn't surprise me if after a message like this, somebody calls up Pastor Asquith and says, hey, that Hain fella, he really went over the line. It wouldn't surprise me. But you tell me this. You tell me this. Where are you going to hear these things? Where are you going to learn this kind of stuff about the Bible? You say, well, I don't need that stuff. That's what I just said is the problem. You want part of the Bible. You only want the parts that please you. You only want the parts that make you feel good. When we stand before God Almighty, the whole Bible is going to be used as our judgment.
Good.
And it is for men like myself and pastor and evangelists to declare the word of God.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Remember, the reason I'm doing this is because I get asked, what about cremation? So what am I supposed to smile?
Right.
Well, you know, I don't necessarily care for that, but a lot of people are doing it today. I understand. I didn't answer the person's question. I played politics. The example of Jesus in itself is sufficient. The apostles always speak in their teachings about the death and burial. Never even once has there been a hint of cremation. Go ahead, read the New Testament. The practice of burning the body was known and practiced by others, but it was not chosen by the apostles. When a command is not given, there is no command to burn or not burn, then the practice or example of the New Testament Christians and yea, the Old Testament Christians becomes our guide along with any related teachings.
Yes.
In the time of the catacombs under the city of Rome, they certainly would have had a basis to burn, you know, secretly at nighttime outside the city when nobody could see them. But no, what they did was they took their deceased and they laid them away in rock-hewn tombs and carefully sealed them because they lived underneath the Rome in the catacombs. Cost is a factor. In the scriptures, affection, reverence, and respect were key factors. Now listen, you do what fits to you when it comes to burial. I describe to you what we've discussed regarding caskets and coffins and services, okay? You do what you want, but I have seen too many times where when a family member died, they had to get the most expensive coffin there. They had to get the prettiest one. They had to have the fanciest services. That doesn't equal reverence for the body, and for the dead. Frequently that evidence is guilt. I'm trying to do now in death what I should have done in life in caring for a person. Now that's not true, okay? The reason we're going the cheap route is because we don't have the money to invest in it. Invest in it? You know, invest in it. You know, I don't need it. When I hear the trumpet sound,
yes,
I'm coming out. Okay, it does not matter what I was in, because I'm not going to stay there.
That's right.
Neither are you.
Jesus. Yes, sir.
But cremation is less costly. I would not infer that the cost determines the reverence. I just talked about that. Well, there it is. There it is. I hope that's a help. And again, please, I did not say what I said to be offensive, to upset anybody. Now there you have that information that I just shared. You say, well, I can't remember all them verses. Well, it's nice that we're live streamed. You can go and watch the service with a pencil and paper, and you can write them down. You can take the time to look them up. I've not said these things to upset you. I've said these things to give you a view that otherwise you would not have. Let's pray. Father in heaven,
yes,
thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for his love and the grace and the goodness that you've shown to us. I pray, Father, for each person as they've heard this message, as they deal with this subject. Many don't need to deal with it, Father. It's not an issue to a lot of people. But to some it is. And I pray that you would give them grace and peace and guidance. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.